If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin R. Harrison.
I'm your other host, Adam Pranica.
Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thanks, Ben.
This is an episode that I kind of feel like killing some time to not have to get into it super quickly. How do you feel about opening some trading cards?
Let's do it.
The game is a five-card stud.
The game is exceedingly simple.
More of this than just the cards, Data.
Time to pluck a pigeon.
It's just for the ASMR crowd. I'm going to do this right up against the mic so that they can hear all the little crinkles.
Yeah. Once again, these are the Star Trek The Next Generation Portfolio Prince Trading Card Season 1. Someone accused me of spending $100 for a box of these, Ben. They couldn't be more wrong. You think I'd spend $100 on this?
You don't have $100.
I don't. That's right.
You certainly didn't at the time that you bought them because we didn't have any network affiliation yet and we didn't have any way to accept donations.
It's true.
By the way, somebody, I don't remember if it was what social network it was on, but somebody was like, why don't you guys have a Patreon? And
thanks for outing yourself as someone who turns off the pod before the very end.
Yeah, so we're on MaximumFun.org, which is a largely listener-supported network. In our case, it's, of course, viewer-supported. But that is the closest thing we have to Patreon, and it's probably better for us than Patreon because it's not just a shaking down our listeners for cash system. It's a they support us and we get to, you know, learn from people that really know what they're doing system, and we got to put out a t-shirt via MaximumFun.org. And it's the same deal. Like you sign up, you support at a monthly donation level, and every donation is hugely appreciated, and it's better than Patreon, at least for us. I'm not trying to scold anybody. I'm just saying we don't have that because we have this, and we think that this is better.
Right. Right. I agree. I think it's easier.
My first card is the Arsenal of Freedom, Adam. And you remember those dildonic robots that they kept having to shoot out of the sky, right?
Sure do.
Well, the illustration of the robot that it's like hovering next to Riker's head in this trading card cements eternally the idea that those robots were dildos.
That's great. I like that they leaned into that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I have one for Contagion, which I think is the one where Chaotic Bro spotted the poopy on the Klingon ship.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Adam. This is a big one.
Oh, no.
This is a big card. I have a signed card for Perrin, Sarek's wife, that we just talked about on the last episode.
Oh!
Congratulations, this limited edition card has been personally signed by Joanna Miles as Perrin in Sarek.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow, and well-timed, too.
Yeah, man, we should have opened cards on the last episode. Jeez. Then it would have been ridiculous.
That's pretty awesome, dude. Congratulations. So you have... How many signed cards do you have at this point?
I have Baxter and I have Perrin.
That's a hell of a combo, man.
Yeah. I also have a card here for the Drumhead, which is that one where, like, Picard gets real lawyery defending a half-Romulan crewmate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good episode.
Yeah.
And I've got one for an episode called Rightful Heir. Did we watch this one?
I don't know.
No, this is the one where they, like, find Kales, the god of the Klingons or whatever.
Right.
I don't remember exactly how it goes, but that's what that's for.
Oh, man. Sounds like you got some good ones.
This is a solid pack.
Yeah. Good pack job by you.
Yeah. How about yourself? What'd you get?
I got The Last Outpost, which was the Anybody Canyon episode.
Yeah. That pack, by the way, is only going so far to make me not dread what we have in front of us.
See, I want to just get through this real fast. I can't wait to talk about this episode. All right, so we got The Last Outpost. We got When the Bow Breaks, which was... they decided not to put the dolphin polishing scene on the card. Instead, it's just a picture of the boy and his uniform racing stripes. We have The Measure of a Man, Devil's Due, which is the silhouette of a woman and the devil sort of stenciled onto her in the groin region.
I got this card. This is the one where the lady, like, convinces the planet that she's Satan.
Yeah, I like that episode.
Yeah.
Interesting place to put the devil, too. And then I got Time Zero Part 2, the sequel to the original.
Did you mean
hit.
Misogynistic place to put the devil?
Yes. Yes, that is what I mean exactly.
Yeah.
And then finally, the sequel to the original Time Zero, Time Zero Part 2, with a picture of Guinan and a flat-brimmed hat and also a flat-brimmed clock hovering just above it. With that bit of business done, Ben... It's time to get your shots. No one likes going to the doctor, but you've got to do it. It's season 3, episode 24, Ménage à Trois.
Let's rip off this Band-Aid, Adam.
Let's do it.
The Enterprise is at Beta Z.
It's a real lovely looking planet from orbit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a regular-looking planet. It's no dry and dusty planet Vulcan. It's no swirling fart atmosphere planet. This is like a blue planet with lovely-looking continents.
Looks real and, verdant.
Yeah. And Picard is voiceovering to explain that there's been a big trade conference and the Ferengi got to come this year. And there's like a shindig aboard the Enterprise for the last night of the conference. It's like the outgoing party, and the Ferengi got to come aboard for that too, despite his misgivings.
This party on 10 forward is kind of jamming, right?
Yeah.
They've got kind of an upright marimba player, and he's playing an iPhone ringtone sounding song over and over again.
They tried to get some Ewoks with stormtrooper helmets to play this, but they're on tour, and the fee that they would have needed to pay was just, like, really exorbitant.
Yeah.
So they got this guy instead.
Every once in a while, you get a real alien-looking alien on this show, and he's one of them.
Yeah. You also have in this scene one of the fishmen from the Dog versus Fish episode. mm-hmm. hanging out in the background. But the basic action is this. Troy and her mom are hanging out, and Picard is hanging out with the, like, political leader of Beta Zed, and there are some Ferengi chilling at the bar, and they're like, there's one of them that is, like, ready to mac on Lwaxana Troi. He's totally sprung off Lwaxana Troi.
And what you know that he's into at this point is some boob, because Lwaxana, once again, is leaving not much to the imagination. She's sitting at a table eating three wedge salads at once and letting them out. She's looking frisky and ready to party.
She's got no body shame, you know? Like, she's very liberated in that way. All she wants to do is go to a naked wedding, you know?
It's true, yeah.
I feel like I don't like the way I look to the extent that a naked wedding would be a hard thing for me to get myself ready for.
Yeah, but. And this is clearly, like, my hang-up also. This is not a Lwaxana shaming comment or commentary that I'm trying to deliver. It is very clearly a, man, I wish I was more like her. In this way, maybe only.
For sure. By the way, I'm drinking a large glass of tequila to get me through this episode, Adam.
Oh, man. Like a pint glass?
Is that just like a double rocks glass filled more than halfway up.
Do I detect some ice in there?
Yeah, I got a couple of large, perfectly clear ice cubes that I made. So this Ferengi Damon Tog, walks up to Lwaxana to try and holler at her. And his logic is this. Like, I'm a powerful man. I've got a starship. I got a bunch of sniveling Ferengis working for me. This is a statuesque woman. She's got a lot of boob showing, and she can read minds. Can you imagine putting somebody like me and somebody like her at the head of an Enterprise? Like, we would be unstoppable.
They'd be great, like, tag team partners. They'd be like Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
Will you marry me?
Oh, yeah.
They'd conquer the galaxy together. He's got big dreams.
So what Damon Tog does not consider is that Lwaxana is not a participant in the patriarchy the way he is. And he cannot conceive of a woman who's going to have, like, her own agenda that doesn't collapse under his whenever his masculinity is at risk. So he keeps coming up and, like, trying to kick it to her.
Lwaxana Troi, I desire you.
What?
And she's like, later for that, and walking away. And he's like, he just can't even wrap his head around it.
He isn't even insulted as much as he's confused. Like, why isn't this working?
Right. And his advances are not like, hey baby, I think you look cute in that dress. They're like, you will come and have sex with me on my spaceship now.
He is a he's a colonel in the seduction community. Like he and Geordi are about it, aren't they?
He's a kernel and a turd, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and good thing it doesn't work.
Yeah. We should also say that his wingman in this scene is played by Neelix.
Yeah. Yeah, which the voice is the thing that tipped me off. He's got a very, very identifiable voice.
Yeah. A little surprising that they didn't choose to put them in, like, peacock feather hats and, like, have them do some cheap card trick to try and get a conversation started with Lwaxana.
The guy who plays Neelix after his shoot day is over is like, man, really glad I got the work, but could you imagine working on a series where you had to wear a full, like, headdress makeup thing, prosthetic? Boy, would that suck. Not doing that.
It's like talking to Michael Dorn. He's like, so you have to do this every single shoot day? God, bummer.
That sucks. I would never do that, no matter how desperate.
My career's going in different places, bub.
Yeah, good luck with this Star Trek show or whatever. I've got bigger plans. Like making a fucking Star Trek cookbook in 10 years.
So Picard is going to go do some science. They're going to do some science on a nebula. And it's like, it's routine biz for the Enterprise, so it's not heavy lifting. And he talks Riker and Troy and a few other, you know, randoms into taking some shore leave. Like, they're just going to go do this science without them. It feels like Riker's earned it. And so
also feels like Picard's play is to guarantee Lwaxana leaves the ship. Like,
right.
Look, if Troy and Riker are down on the surface, of course Loxana's going to go with.
Yeah.
Sort of a little bit of a hedge.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a real trump card that he might not even need to play, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's winning this hand, but he doesn't want to leave anything to uncertainty.
Yeah.
The Enterprise heads off to do its science project, and Riker and Troy go on a date on the surface of Beta Z. And this is a rare, like, actual exterior where they shot probably in, like, some botanical garden in L.A. And Riker and Troy are on, like, a totally sexy day-date where they're, like, walking around in the garden, they look in some flowers, they're doing a little smooching.
If you were to make an action figure based on Riker in this scene, it is so Harlequin novel Riker. Like,
yeah.
He has got a big poofy shirt, he's got Nicki Minaj pants, like, he's got the whole thing going on. He's doing a little hand-holding with Troy, they're smelling some flowers. Feels good.
Yeah.
Feels like they may be rekindling something.
They may have done, had not Mr. Hom and Lwaxana showed up with a picnic. And it's a weird scene where Troy's like, how'd you guys know? And I wonder how any Betazoid could ever ask that of another Betazoid.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Major fail in the script on that line.
This is on the heels of Lwaxana really giving Troy the business about not settling down to, and this entire picnic blanket scene is just more Lwaxana wanting to squish Riker and Troy together. Like, get them fires going again.
Well, Mr. Holm and I could go back home if you two would like to be alone. It's such a romantic setting. Mother, stop it.
Yeah, she's totally playing the, like, domineering mother that's obsessed with marrying off her daughter, which is, I think, a character that can be depicted but doesn't make any fucking sense in the context of this show, or especially like the opening scene of the episode where it's about her being like a totally independent woman.
Sure.
Like, she wants independence for herself, but she wants her daughter to be totally supplicated to this, like, powerful and successful man. Like, it doesn't square. It's bad writing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. They start digging into this this Betazoid food, and I think the idea is Lwaxana, like, wants to give Riker something that has, like, sex vitamins in it. It's weird.
Yeah.
This, like, why is she giving him food to eat? So she's like, hey, check out this piece of lettuce. It's got these weird veins in it.
Yeah.
Ben, I thought this scene was so weird, it compelled me to do a little research.
Oh, yeah.
And what I found was that originally, this piece of produce that Lwaxana was supposed to give Riker was like a dick. Like,
oh, really?
It was dick-shaped, which is why they kept the dialogue about it being veiny in it.
Oh.
Because you remember, it was a piece of lettuce, and she's like, yeah, it's got these veins that have these juices in it. But originally, it was a dung. Like a dildonic veg.
What, James?
Can you believe that didn't fly?
Riker was like, I would never bite into, but I would lovingly lick on.
Yeah, yeah. I would just kind of smack against my cheek. Yeah,
provided
fucking
an
weird.
Excessive amount of consent was provided by the vegetable in question.
So for our sensitive American audience, we get a piece of, like, rainbow shard.
Yeah. And
I don't think he likes it.
Try the Ascoid. Very different.
Well, I guess to go with what was supposed to be a dick, Lwaxana gets the idea that some berries might be fun to eat as well. So she gets like a she gets like a beach bucket and gives it to Mr. Hom and says, like, go off and pick some berries, bro. And he heads off, and just then Damon Togg beams down with a bouquet of flowers and hands it to her. And
Riker's like,
in here.
The one thing that works all the time is getting shot down and then showing up unannounced at a family gathering. Like,
yeah,
that's a sure thing. I feel like Mr. Hom, if he wanted to, could just rip the ears from his head.
Yeah.
And, like, throw them into that lake.
Mr. Hom is, like, three times as tall as this guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Hom could be three Ferengis inside a trench coat.
We swear, we're grown-ups.
Yep.
So, yeah, in Mr. Hom's absence, the Daemon manages to abduct Troy, Riker, and Lwaxana up to his ship, and they are in the Kraton's version of the brig. And it's kind of a weirdly configured room where they're in a little cell that's off to the side, but there's some like computers and stuff, and there's a 3D chess set in there. I guess Riker's already like kind of dusted the floor with one of these Ferengi, so there's some brinksmanship with the chess that comes into play with this episode. But yeah, they're locked up, and Riker is, you know, trying to figure out what to do with this situation when one of the Ferengis notices that they're awake, radios up to Damon Togg, and Damon Togg like hits a button, and Lwaxana and Deanna Troi are beamed out of their dresses and into Togg's quarters. So they materialize nude. And there's actually, like, maybe the only good part of this episode, spoiler alert, is the special effect when they beam out of their dresses, because, like, their dresses are left empty in midair and, like, fall to the ground, and it's, like, perfectly pulled off. It's not an easy effect to do. And actually done pretty well.
Not the first time a couple of dresses get thrown at Riker's feet either.
Yeah. Well, Riker's whole philosophy is the sexiest clothes are the ones that are on the floor.
It's true. But what really angers Riker is that they were beamed away without their consent.
Yeah, this plays right into Riker's whole ethos as a coxman.
Right.
And Damon Togg's idea is that he's going to, you know, press the issue and essentially force Lwaxana into a relationship with him. And it's like, you know, classic guy who can't take no for an answer story.
Yeah.
I mean, which, that's basically all you can say about it, right?
Pretty much. I mean, and Lwaxana sort of hatches a plan of her own, right? She's like, look, I really don't see a way out of this unless I capitulate somehow. Like, there's no going back. He's going to keep all of us. What if I can get him to get rid of you two in exchange for me? What is that going to take? So Lwaxana starts flirting a little bit with Togg, makes it clear that, you know, maybe your idea isn't quite so far-fetched. Never at any point being sincere in these feelings.
Yeah, and you know, the second she turns on her charm, he is putty in her hands.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I guess, say what you want about it, but his guard gets dropped the second she expresses any interest in him. And
the moment she does, he hits a button and basically quagmires his quarters, like a bed rolls out, like the lights turn down, like the whole deal.
You know, Marvin Gaye records starts playing.
Yeah.
He hands her a snifter of brandy.
Yeah, he gets real gross.
So a little like ladies' man type of vibe, you know. Tries to buy her a fish sandwich.
Like anyone who just doesn't get the signs, he just launches right in.
It is a guiding principle of a Starfleet base. Have you can't find it within yourself to stand up, tell the truth. You don't deserve to wear that uniform.
Meanwhile, on the Enterprise, there is a little bit of fun and games with the Nebula, like they're doing some science. And I guess if we can call this a B storyline, there's some discussion of the fact that Wesley is going to be heading off to the Academy after this little science mission. I guess he did pretty good on his written exam, and he's got his oral exam, which he's nervous about. I don't know why. I mean, he's obviously got lots of experience with oral. You know, every time Picard unzips the mask.
That's gross.
And there's like a scene where Geordi and Data are like, yeah, like, what's it going to be like? I mean, you might get stationed on another ship, or even if you do get stationed on this ship, none of us might even be here. You know, we might have all gotten transferred to other posts or whatever. And Wesley's realizing that life is never going to be the same once he goes into the Academy. And he'd never really considered that fact. Like, he's just thinking, I'm going to run off to this Academy. I'm going to get my pip, and then I'm heading back here. I might use that pip, you know? And they're like, it might not be how it plays out, buddy. Like, you might, like, who knows? You might go off to the Academy and get in big trouble for covering up a major aeronautics disaster.
Who knows? I mean, I'm just saying, that could happen.
Just speculate, you know, like, blue sky here, but it could happen.
Yeah, and this hits Wes like a bucket of cold water. He's like, you mean things change when I'm not present? That's weird.
Yeah. Wesley Crusher, solipsist.
Yeah, and that is just the lightest B of B stories in this. We are very firmly entrenched in the Luoxana story for most of the episode.
So Riker works on this sub-Ferengi who's playing chess, and kind of like challenges him to a game of chess. They start playing, and Riker's like, hey, listen, like, I'm not really having fun playing you because I'm way over here on the other side of the room behind this force field, so I'm going to go chill out on this bed, and you can either finish the game by yourself or go fuck yourself. I don't really care. And like, you know, every setup that a character pulls on another character in this episode is like exquisitely predictable. Like, you basically are never given a plant that pays off in a way that surprises you. And wouldn't you know it, but Riker is using this chess game as a way to get under this guy's skin, get him to drop the force field, and then Riker can use his superior human strength to overpower him, steal his phaser, and start like fucking around on the computer. And so he does that. He's working on the computer, and
Ben, I really feel like this episode makes the Ferengi look so fucking dumb. Like,
it really does.
Because you're right. Like, every setup is so transparent. Luoxana's Troy's treatment of Tog is like completely, completely transparent. Like, I feel like the Ferengi are as dumb as the Packlids. They're diet Packlid.
And they're supposed to be these like cunning businessmen, right? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense that they're so credulous.
It seems like it's a miracle that they could even have starship technology.
Yeah. Like, maybe this is like the B team of Ferengis or something.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this trade conference in a socialist utopia was not a big enough deal to send the real heavy hitters from the Ferengi Alliance.
Yeah.
So they sent Damon Tog and his group of lackeys. But that's like the only headcanon that makes this make any sense.
Yeah. Kidnapping storylines have been done in every show for all time, and I think this is probably one of the worst executions of that.
Luoxana's up there, like, rubbing her hands all over Damon Tug's ears. She's got him to a point where he's about to give up his command code so that they can get a carrier signal out to the Enterprise, and the Neelix guy runs in and is like, you fucking idiot. You almost just gave the whole ship up to this.
You almost gave them the recipe to the ship.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost gave him the 11 herbs and spices in the Colonel's secret recipe chicken. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's super old news by the time this episode's coming out, but it's breaking right now as we're recording it.
And this seems like grounds for him losing his command. This other Ferengi's like, you have been an idiot with this woman the entire time. Like, I can't co-sign any of this. Yeah. What you need to do is give her to me so I can hook her up to some weird machine and study our mind works.
Yeah,
maybe we may get value for this fucking stupid mission you've got us on if I'm able to like drill lasers into her brain. And that's really the only way I'm not going to report you up to the Ferengi executive leadership here.
Yeah, he's going to do some mad scientist shit on Loxana, and you know, it's like it's just another like kind of half-hearted attempt to raise the stakes in this episode because She's getting drilled down into by this machine. Riker breaks in and phasers the guy, and she like hops up and she's like at 100% immediately.
Yeah.
You know, she's not like fucked up by this at all. Like they're like, this could destroy her mind, and you know, come on, give me a fucking break. Like, we should be so lucky.
Oh man, that's character cruelty.
They managed to get a signal out to the Enterprise by encoding it in the Cochrane distortion field of the warp something something.
You don't say.
First time I think we hear the name Cochrane, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because that comes up in First Contact. But the boy, Wesley Crusher, recognizes it in a way that is, you know, like the Enterprise is hunting for the Ferengis by this point, and Wesley's like on his way down to board the ship that's going to take him off to do some oral, and he runs back up to the bridge and he's like, I got it.
The interference itself could be a message. If I could just hear a replay of the subspace scans.
It's static in the warp signature of the Ferengi ship, and that's how we're going to find Commander Riker. And it turns out that he figured out a way to use the static to play Yub Yub.
Yeah. Yeah, Riker's like, they've got to know this tune.
Everybody loves this. End of Return of the Jedi? It's a classic. You would never do anything to replace this song, because it's maybe the greatest piece of music in Star Wars.
Riker's like, I can't finish unless I hear the Yub Yub song. Cues it up. So the Enterprise chases him down and gets him up on the FaceTime, right?
The Ferengis beam Riker and Troy aboard, and I don't know why, but they stick around to try and pull it out for Loxana. I mean, you would think that Picard would look at this and be like, all right, 2 out of 3 is not bad, and these are like my officers.
According
right?
to Worf, like those are way acceptable losses. Like 1 out of 3, he's like, yeah, let's hit the gas and get out of here.
Yeah, and let's be honest, the third one, a bit of a dud. Kind of drags down every season when she shows up in her one contractually obligated episode.
The hopes of millions of viewers ride on Picard's decision here.
And unfortunately, he calls it wrong.
Picard's like, we got to get Loxana back, right? We got to get her back. And Loxana starts getting them to quarrel. She's like, well, you'll have to do it over Tog's dead body. Like, he loves me. He loves me and he's not letting me go.
When will you get it through your thick head that it's over between us, Jean-Luc?
That dude fucks.
Yeah. Check out this guy's rad ears. You know what big ears mean. And so the trick is that, like, because of... What's the deal, dude? Is it because of, like, some Ferengi rule of acquisition or something? That, like, Picard has got to really threaten Tog with something serious to get him to give her up.
Yeah. And I think that the idea here is... Picard has to sell to Tog that he is crazy enough about Loxana that he'll actually throw some military force behind this. Like he's willing to blow up the Ferengi ship.
He is the man who will fight for her honor. So Picard, in playing the role of jealous lover, begins to serenade Loxana with some sweet, sweet Shakespeare.
My love is a fever, longing still for that which longer nurseth the disease.
Tell me more.
You know, Adam, I could have sworn I'd heard this sonnet somewhere before.
Yeah, I don't think so, Ben.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, anyways, they convince Tog that he's, you know, Loxana is not worth the ass-whooping that the Enterprise is going to lay on him.
If you were Tog, you would have accepted being destroyed. You would have been like, please kill me. Please shoot all of your torpedoes at me.
Yeah.
End my suffering.
I think Tog is just in damage control mode now because Neelix is onto what a fucking hack he is, and Picard is threatening to report him to the Ferengis as not being good at business.
Yeah, that'd be real trouble. She ends up being not worth the effort at this point.
Right.
I am the cutest of all. Lock faces on that vessel. I am the cutest of all. There are four lights.
So they get her back aboard. And the episode ends with a scene where Picard calls the boy into his ready room and gives him a little field commission.
Yeah, he's like, you've done pretty great. You basically single-handedly rescued Riker, Troy, and that other woman. Good job, man. I know you sort of missed the bus to school. And yeah. And in light of that, you know what? I'm the captain around here. I've got the power. I have the power to give you a field commission. So check it out. Instead of being an acting ensign, full-time ensign with all the rewards and duties there too.
Yeah. And this is real nice. You know, it's like a much more restrictive leather suit that Wesley's going to be wearing. You know, like, it's just like it's taking the kink to a whole nother level.
Right. It's basically removing all the safe words. The introduction of some electrical stimuli, like pretty weird shit now.
Yeah, they might even get into some blood play, like some stuff that's like really off the reservation. Like Dan Savage can't even sign off on some of this stuff.
Stuff you can't even find online.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so a few moments later, Wes steps onto the bridge in a very ill-fitting Federation uniform, like. Holy shit. He wears it like a hooded sweatshirt that LL Cool J would buy. Like it is just like baggy as fuck.
Yeah, it's like the suit that a kid wears to his bar mitzvah because you know, it's like you might grow into this. Like people aren't being honest about the fact that his body is going to change a lot before he's like a full-grown man, so They buy him this with the idea that it's going to be a long-term investment, and it really should have just been for this one occasion, you know?
Yeah, it's just hanging off of him.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a mess.
But big smiles all around.
Yeah.
It's good to see. Good to see him in a regular uniform instead of that weird gray high-rise sweatpants sweatshirt combo.
Yeah, and you know, I think let's be honest, like this costume has run its course, and I think it's been showing its age in some of the recent episodes. Like, it's got a big like V-shaped notch in the back of the pants.
Yeah.
That and the like corners of that have really been sticking out in recent episodes. It's sort of looking like it's not long for this world, and I have to think that like they were like, do we make another non-official Starfleet uniform for this character, or does Wes just get to go official?
Yeah, I wonder if it was a production-influencing story there. Like, look, this thing is breaking down. We don't want to make another.
Yeah.
Why don't you promote the kid?
So he retires his all-silver communicator badge. He retires his weird sweater top sweatsuit. I would say his hair is even a little bit better.
Yeah, the whole ensemble looks much better. Much, much better.
Doesn't fit him as sleekly, but it suits him.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, big smiles all around. Good feeling at the end of the episode. Wesley plots a course and they're out of there. End of episode. Ben, you got through it. How do you feel? You all right?
We've recorded a longer episode than I anticipated. I thought this was going to be like a 20-minute ep.
Tell me how you're feeling right now.
I'm relieved to have this one in the rear view.
Give me the status of your giant tequila.
It is MT.
Nice. Well done.
What am I going to do with an MT tequila?
I don't know. Fill her up?
Fill her back up, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy for you. You did it. We got you through it.
Yeah.
Was it as bad as you thought it would be?
This might be...
Is it on your Mount Armus?
It's on my Mount Armus for sure. So here's the problem I have is there are some episodes that are so horrendously racist or otherwise just, or, you know, misogynistic or whatever that, like, I can't look past.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a little more misogynistic than your average, you know, first three season episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But really the problem with this is the script. It is a fucking garbage script. And it's not a garbage script in the season one way or the season two way. It's like they have completely reinvented garbage.
Yeah, it technically doesn't work on a number of levels. Yeah. It assumes a stupidity in the antagonist that shouldn't exist. Like, it's that thing where either a conflict is worthy of the protagonist and the effort that is required to surmount that challenge, or it's weak to the degree that it's just a joke. And to me, it was the latter of the two. Like, this was too easy, and I think we all feel dumber for seeing it.
Right, like at least the Packleds episode, I mean, as flawed an episode as that is, it sort of feels like a conflict that, like, we can relate to, right? Like whenever you are in a situation where somebody has some power but they are so stupid that they can't be reasoned with.
Yeah.
That is a genuine kind of frustration, and this is a show that can actually explore that in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Without, you know, like lampooning like some specific group. This episode is just like, there's no there. It's like a stupid antagonist for the reason that whoever wrote the antagonist wasn't smart enough to make the antagonist smart.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, man.
Yeah, and I'm like you. I don't know if I could stick it in the Mount Armus pool because, like, there's a lot of bad coming up. I mean, it might not be the fourth worst episode we've seen, but it's definitely in the conversation.
For sure.
It's disappointing that I just thought the show was better than this at this moment in time.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to, like, depress everyone, yeah. But...
yeah,
let's not. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that, Adam, you and I have probably had episodes that are as massive of failures as this episode was for Star Trek The Next Generation, so let's not, like, completely shit on it. Like, it is not easy to make something good when you are, like, almost... They're probably like 80 episodes into the series at the... No.
Yeah, well, they're 24 probably, into the season. I mean...
Yeah, so they're probably like 75 episodes into the series at this point.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that they have fallen this low is dismaying, but not completely disheartening.
Judge not, lest we be judged.
Yeah, we should not be throwing rocks up in this... glass his house.
Well put, Ben. Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Did you hear that ringing noise in your headphones?
I bet people thought you were about to talk about Drunk Shimoda, but you're not yet, are you?
No, that's a little bit of a head fake. I'm messing around with my branding.
What's up?
Well, I think we're getting something in on the old Priority One message computer. Want to check it out?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. I love making money.
Priority One message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental. upload.
Yeah, it's extra.
But the interest alone could be enough to buy this ship.
Our first message is from Jamie Liz. I think that's how I'm going to pronounce that. And
yeah, let's go with
it
that.
It is for my favorite assemblage of star stuff. Aw. Of all the husbands I've had, you're the first. Thanks for surfing the Discreto line with me for Ensign Doorjam, Miles A.Z. Bryan, and the Ford Inconspicuous for Brinner and Hot Gogs, and generally keeping me sane. Also, we made a person, and she's pretty amazing. Happy 5th anniversary, husband mine. Here's to many more. He who is my husband.
I was just going to do that joke. God damn it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah, I was...
my favorite assemblage of star stuff.
Even though I am better than you, I am not. You're doing that Brad Neely thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's one of the greats.
What a really nice anniversary message. 5th anniversary.
Really nice.
I have not yet made it to 5.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
The only thing I've made is a fart under the sheets. So.
Yeah, these people made a person.
That's pretty tremendous.
Is the person named Huck Goggs or Brinner?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I mean, I'm not going to judge a child's name.
Yeah.
I'm just going to hope that it's not named Brinner or Huck Goggs.
Yeah, the trends are all different these days, Adam.
You know? It's true.
You gotta stay with the times.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a second one, if I am not mistaken.
I don't believe you are, Ben.
Do you want to read it for us, Adam?
Yeah, I could do that. Our next Priority One message is of a personal nature. It is for David Corbett from Alex. Happy birthday, Dad. Wish you were still here with us to celebrate, and we will always miss you in our hearts. Remember when the local library had every episode of TNG on VHS and we watched them all? Great times. The universe is a darker place now without you. I love you, Dad.
God, that is really sweet.
I know. I had kind of a hard time getting through that. That was great.
Yeah, that was that's a really touching message, Alex, and I'm glad that you chose us to help you share that. Your dad sounds like a really cool guy. I would not recommend anybody listen to this program with their parents in person, because I feel like that would make for some uncomfortable
That's a
moments.
Tough car ride, I think.
Yeah, but man, how sweet.
Yeah.
Well, feels a little schlocky to pivot into promoting this service, but if you'd like to, help support the show by buying a Priority One message, it's $100 for a personal message or $200 for a commercial message. Just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron and you can fill out a form. And I think it's fun for us, fun for everybody else, and help support the show.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get a little choked up.
Tomok, Angelad, and Tanagra.
What are the rituals you have in your life? For me, it's a coffee and a dog walk in the morning, a yoga or a Peloton ride after that, a scoop of fiber at night before bed, and at some point in the middle of the day, I take my ritual vitamins, a couple of Essential for Men, and a Symbiotic Plus for gut health. If I can do all those things, I'll feel like I'm doing a good job taking care of my birdie. Ritual is a science-backed multivitamin with 10 key ingredients. They are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Essential for Men is what I take, and it's a quality multivitamin from a company you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/scarves. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/scarves. For 25% off. I've got to fly cross-country to visit our buddy Adam Ragusea today, and there have already been 2 flight delays on the outbound. And as I watch the delays get longer and my travel day get thrown into a shambles, I'm remaining chill. There's nothing I can do but wait, and I'm making my waiting a little better with a microdose gummy. That's because microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help me feel just the right amount of good, We've all seen those videos of people going crazy on airplanes. Well, this isn't that kind of dose at all. This is the kind of dose that makes a long delay at an airport feel a little more bearable. There are all kinds of other uses, and if you've ever considered microdosing, I'd encourage you to give the products from LumiLabs a try. Get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com using the promo code SCARVS. Now, these products are available nationwide, and that URL is microdose.com. The promo code is SCARVS. And with that, you can save 30% and free shipping. Again, that's microdose.com, and the promo code is SCARVS.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Did you find yourself a drunk Shimoda in this episode?
Incredible.
Drunk Shimoda!
Fuck off. No, it was Shimoda-less. I would say that there is no Shimoda in this episode. This episode is not worth giving a drunk Shimoda for.
That is a fucking great call. I agree with you. This will not get a Shimoda from me. The core competency of a drunk Shimoda is the fun factor. Didn't feel like this episode had any fun in it. It was it was too weird. It was too bad. So no Shimodas from me, no Shimodas from you.
Yeah, that is that's unprecedented. I would say that the only other episode I can think of that didn't get any Shimodas was episode 1.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Wow. Interesting ep, interesting pod. What do we have coming up for the next episode?
The next episode is season 3, episode 25, Transfigurations. The Enterprise rescues a mysterious humanoid whose remarkable powers affect the entire crew. Do you remember this episode, Adam?
Not one bit.
I think this is another like Space Jesus episode where like the guy turns into a being of pure light.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. That's my vague recollection.
You know who else turns into a being of pure light?
Who?
The Dared.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if our pal Kevin knows this guy.
Oh yeah, I bet because they probably exist out of time. He's like, Mr. Pure Light, I admire the way you've presented yourself to the Enterprise crew. I know them well. I even manufactured a series of real dolls for Commander Riker.
Well, I respect the way in which you've presented yourself to my fringe. I must say that if you try to elbow your way into my business that I've worked very hard to cultivate, you will find me destroying not just you, but every one of your kind.
A little pebble in the path that I creep over from time to time, and I would encourage you not to tempt me to do it again. It makes me feel terrible.
It's something I'm working on very hard. In an effort of self-betterment, I've gone through the steps.
try not to do any more genocide, at least for the next several thousand years.
I've been going to regular Genocide Anonymous meetings.
Hello, my name is Kevin Expert.
Hello, Kevin.
And I've committed genocide.
I just earned my 4-episode no genocide coin. Oh, man.
The wooden nickel of genocide.
Oh, man. It feels like it's been a while since we've done Kevin. Fits like an old shoe. Feels great.
Yeah. I think that people that have slogged through this fucking horrible episode.
Yeah, we had
really
to give
just
them a little bit.
Got a nice payoff there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Speaking of payoffs, Adam.
Hey, that's a championship level pivot.
Yeah, taking a page out of the Mission Log playbook. There are lots and lots of ways that you can help make this show keep being a show and keep getting better. And the tip-top way is by going to MaximumFun.org/donate and supporting our show with your donations. We really appreciate everybody that does that. It's like Patreon. The other options you have, if you don't got the ducats right now, that's totally fine. You could head to iTunes and leave us a review, or leave us a review wherever you have available to you. If you are on Google Play, I think that they have something maybe on there. If not that, start a blog or write an article for a major media outlet about how much you like our show, because that seems to really help us find new listeners.
That was a hell of a sales pitch there, Ben. Yeah, we appreciate all your stars. Thanks for those.
You can also talk about us. You can also talk about the show with us on Twitter using the hashtag GreatestGen. Of course, Adam is at Cut for Time, and I am at Benjamin R, A-H-R. And we would love to goof around with you about this episode and all past episodes on Twitter. There's also a Facebook group, Facebook page, and several subreddits associated with the show.
There's even baseball cards associated with the show, Ben.
Yeah, that's true. Our friend Bill Tilly is making those, and every single time I see one, I'm delighted by it.
He's the best. Shout out to our man, Bill Tilly. BT.
Wah, 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 wah.
I think that's just about going to do it, right? Well, we gotta recognize the music that gets played on our show. That, of course, being the Picard song as our theme and interstitial music, created by the one and only Dark Materia. You can find the Picard song anywhere and on every website on the internet by simply searching for the Picard song and Dark Materia.
Yeah, you can also give a high five to Adam Ragusea, who made the song that plays during our Priority One messages. And go listen to his podcast, The Pub, on current public media. It's a really terrific show about public media and podcasting. And that dude is sharp as a tack and really gets into it in ways that I hugely admire.
I wouldn't listen to him if he also wasn't funny, which he is. He manages to turn a podcast business show into something that's really great to listen to.
Totally. Well, thanks for listening to us. And with that, we will be back at you next time with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and a remarkably powerful episode of The Greatest Generation.
Huh. Sounds good. It's not going to be as bad as this one. It's all uphill from here.
It really is. I think that might have been the nadir of Greatest Gen.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.